countdown for blastoff. X minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1, fire!
Recently, I reached out to the Church of Satan, and I was put in contact with someone who represents and can speak on behalf of the beliefs and philosophy of Satanism today. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Michael Anthony. I am a warlock in the Church of Satan, and I'm an artist, musician, writer, comedian.
Well, you know, what I'd like to do today is ask you 20 questions on behalf of the layperson and many people out on the street exercising, listening to this interview right now. I wanted to ask you 20 questions and get to learn more about Satanism, because we all have preconceived notions and I think stereotypes and filmatic cliches in our minds. But not many people have read the Satanic Bible by Anton Sandor LaVey, or for that matter, visited the Church of Satan website and learned about its history and philosophy. And so I'm really grateful for this opportunity to speak with you today and learn a little bit more.
Great.
How long have you been involved with Satanism?
Well, when I was about 13 is when I started to study and identify with it. As soon as I started studying it, I identified with it, which is a pretty common experience among Satanists who, you know, pick up the Satanic Bible, often at a young age, and once we read it, it just clicks. And so it's not a conversion, but just a resonance that we then embrace.
Yeah, and for the listener, tell us, please, what is Satanism?
Well, Satanism is the world's first carnal religion. It was codified by Anton LaVey. He synthesized different elements of philosophy and religion that he was able to identify as inherently satanic. He took the most positive aspects of what was always considered Satanism or satanic, and then he incorporated other principles from different cultural sources to synthesize an actual religion. And I'd say influences include Ayn Rand, Friedrich Nietzsche, 19th century romantic and decadent literature, film noir, and the American carnival. I mean, carnival, the word carnival is etymologically related to carnal, you know. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's true. That's true. And, well, Anton LaVey, he played the calliope and other instruments in carnivals, in fact, when he was a younger man, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, he was a musician, and for him, his music was definitely a major expression of himself as a Satanist. It was And him playing music was him practicing Satanism in many ways. It ties in with the principles of evocation, which is a very important concept in Satanism. Just the idea of achieving just a full emotional connection with an environment, with an idea, with an image, just engrossing oneself in something to achieve just a heightened level of awareness and pleasure.
And so that leads me to the next question then. So do you believe in Satan as a literal entity?
No, not at all. It's symbolic. Satan is a symbol that embodies the principles of Satanism. We're atheists, and I'd say ultimately Satan represents indulgence, individualism, and personal responsibility, and this symbol of Satan enhances our philosophical principles, the intellectual aspects of the philosophy.
So then Satanism is not theistic in any sense, is that correct?
Correct. It's we are atheists, but we take the atheism several steps further, and we're placing ourselves as the center of our personal universe, and that makes us our own personal god. Not that we're megalomaniacs who think we have some kind of you know, Yahweh-like power, but it's just a way of being egocentric, but it's rational self-interest, which is what Satan ultimately represents. And our high priest, Peter H. Gilmore, coined the term atheist, you know, the letter I, meaning I, and that's ultimately how we alter it. It's not just atheism, it's I-theism, because we're the most important thing in our own lives, us, ourselves, and the things we, and people we cherish.
I see. So when I read the Satanic Bible, you know, one thing that stood out is, one thing that was repeated many times is that the idea of the gods is a concept considered created by man. And so mankind projects its fears and hopes and ideas of good and evil in himself onto an external god. And in Satanism, you acknowledge that, and it's yourselves that you end up worshiping, in a sense, not yourselves by proxy through a god. Is that, did I paraphrase that, or did I butcher that?
No, that sounds spot on. It's definitely that. Yeah, you know, we create gods in our own image, or to symbolize some aspect of, or to embody some aspect of our just human psyche, our needs, our desires, our fears, and instead we embrace us, we focus on ourselves, we celebrate ourselves, and the symbol of Satan is the best, just as an amalgam within himself, the myth of Satan, which has, you know, corresponding figures in many different cultures, if not all cultures and religions, is just the best representative of the principles that we live by naturally.
So what then does one celebrate in Satanism, if you were to distill it down to some core concepts or beliefs? What is being celebrated?
Oneself above all, and that includes, as I mentioned before, anything or anyone that the individual Satanist cherishes on a personal level. So it's it really is thoroughly self-centered, in the sense that we seek to fulfill ourselves and evolve ourselves. And that's really it. It's really, LaVey said that it's more like a frame, whereas a lot of people might be obsessed with Satanism as the picture. Really, it's a frame for one's individual vision. So, you know, you paint the picture, and Satanism is the perfect frame if it happens to resonate with your own way of living.
I see. So within that frame, then, are there holidays and ceremonial occasions that are celebrated?
Yes. Well, the holidays are the most important satanic holiday is one's own birthday. So that you celebrate in whatever manner suits you best, whatever. And I personally love to go to a really nice restaurant, spend time with my loved ones, and just have as much of a good time as I can. And I generally also spread it across a weekend or a week. I take a vacation from work around my birthday every year. And it really depends on what the individual wants. But other than the birthday, we have different holidays that are generally taken from pagan tradition. And we have Walpurgisnacht, which is April 30th. And that's the night of April 30th, technically, leading into May 1st. And that's in in tradition, that's supposed to be a time when witches and warlocks are particularly active. It's the height of spring. It's a celebration of life and fertility. And that's also when the Church of Satan was founded in 1966, for the symbolic value. And then we have Halloween as well, which is at the other end of the calendar. And that of course has very, we love that because a lot of people will kind of in their own little way be a little more satanic, so to speak, on that day. You know, they're indulging, they're evoking these images and atmospheres, and they're having a great time. Those are the major ones.
I see. Well, and that's interesting to me. When I read the foreword to the more current edition, I think the 2005 edition of the Satanic Bible, it mentions that there's a, I think the phrasing used is that there's an aesthetic context and a psychodramatic context to the ceremony or the holidays. So on a Halloween, for example, there's no literal belief in spirits or devils or witchcraft, is there? Or is it more the acting out and the enjoyment of the occasion?
Right. No, we don't. We're not spiritual in any sense. It's again, we're rationalists, so we're not superstitious. So for the we will take that imagery and enjoy it for its evocative value, but we're not literally believing in, you know, these in demons and other entities. Witchcraft, I'd say, and witchcraft is important in Satanism, but as in magic, but it's not. I don't want to, you know, jump the gun on this, but it's certainly, I'll say it's important, but it has different meanings than I think many people would expect.
Ooh, what are they? The dominant meanings and themes in witchcraft then, or in magic?
Okay, well, in satanic magic, we have what we call lesser magic and greater magic. Lesser magic would be just day-to-day use of anything from aesthetics, you know, personal appearance, manner, overall demeanor, and different little tricks just from based on knowledge of human nature and psychology to pretty much get our way, you know, sort of in the way that maybe a woman might present herself in a certain way at a bar to get free drinks from men that she has no intention of sleeping with. That's an oversimplification perhaps, but that's, you know, lesser magic is that applied psychology, and then greater magic or ceremonial magic is used as first and foremost as psychodrama, a way of enhancing one's own perceptions, will, and also as catharsis. Through a more formalized act, you know, through the lighting of candles, and music, and different accoutrements that might be generally seen as, you know, what people tend to expect is, a lot of people think that's all that Satanists do, but it's really just a way of formalizing the techniques that we often use just that you might not even recognize as magic or as a religious activity. I mean, some Satanists would just see a favorite film and through the power of that film get the same fulfillment that another might only find in a ritual that is more traditionally expected. Hope that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I think it does. It seems as though there's a certain Well, you mentioned, I think, catharsis. There's a certain, in psychodrama, so there's a certain psychological element to it then, isn't there?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, I mean, almost a psychoanalytic, a Freudian underpinning to it. I don't mean literally, but in terms of some of, or in some of the systems and energies that are either discharged or experienced.
Absolutely. It's, in fact, LaVey recommended that Satanists read Freud in their satanic studies. And he said that Satanism was, he designed Satanism to fill what he called the large gray void between religion and psychiatry. And that's in the Satanic Bible.
Okay, I see. And, you know, I'm going to jump ahead then. That's the official book of Satanism. Is that correct, the Satanic Bible?
It's the book that one would have to read, the one book I'd say that one should definitely read in order to declare oneself a Satanist. I'd say if you haven't read the Satanic Bible and you think you might be a Satanist, it's worth reading. It doesn't take long. It doesn't. He made sure it wasn't something that would be too difficult for just about anyone to grasp. Not that he dumbed it down, but it's, yeah, I'd say that it's the fundamental core text. But you can also, by reading his other books and Peter Gilmore's book, The Satanic Scriptures, get a great overview. And, I mean, really, the essay by Peter Gilmore, Satanism, the Feared Religion, which is in his book, The Satanic Scriptures, was declared by LaVey the best overall summary of the religion. Oh, that I wouldn't call any book official, but there are, you know, I'd say books by our high priests, Anton LaVey and Peter H. Gilmore are not missed, and there's a lot of material out there, but reading those books would give one a very solid sense of the philosophy of the religion.
Well, this one of the reasons I'm excited to speak with you is that there is a wealth of literature out there to be read, but in our day-to-day lives, we don't often meet people who profess or who we learn are members of the Church of Satan. And so to speak to you gives me a really terrific opportunity to learn something from your personal point of view as a person who experiences it and isn't just reading about it dryly the way I do. So thank you. Now,
I'm glad to be.
As a warlock in the Church of Satan, and you mentioned priests and the high priests, what are the ranks in the Church of Satan, please, and what are their responsibilities?
Okay, well, we have first the registered member. So in the Church of Satan, we have registered members who may or may not ever become active members, and you know, their support is, of course, appreciated, and they're free to go and do whatever they want. But then as far as active membership, we have a system of degrees of rank, 5 degrees. Ours is pretty simple. It's not a complex Masonic arrangement. The first level is a Satanist, which is an acknowledgement. If I've kind of skipped an important part, which is that when applying for active membership, one fills out a comprehensive questionnaire, and that gives the administration a sense of who you are as a person, at least in the way you present yourself. And so once they read that, they'll decide whether or not that person can be an active member. And the first rank is Satanist. That's first degree. It's an acknowledgement that you've demonstrated a grasp of the religion and you apply it in your life. Now, the second degree is Witch or Warlock. That's the first advanced rank in the church. And that's someone who's demonstrated an advanced knowledge and application of satanic principles. And someone who's accomplished in their personal and professional lives. The third degree is priest or priestess, and our reverends are expert spokespersons, but they're not really required to speak on behalf of the church. They've demonstrated mastery in their lives beyond Satanism itself. And then we have the fourth is magisters and magistras, magister for the male and magistra for the female members. And they're even more advanced in their proven understanding and application of Satanism. In the fifth degree, magus or mega, is a master who's contributed much more substantially to Satanism and its place in the world at large. But ultimately, the primary responsibility of any Satanist, whether an active member or just a registered member, or not a member at all, would just be, to fulfill oneself, and that's really what it's about.
So, in what way then, when we say fulfill oneself, in the media or at least movies we've seen growing up, there's often dramatic rituals with sacrifices and naked people and naked women as altars and chalices of blood. And that's all wrong.
Some of it's right, some of it's wrong.
Yes.
Let's see, where do I start there?
Fulfilling oneself. Let's start with what that means. And then you can help me shed decades of sensational TV films of the week.
Okay, well, fulfilling oneself is really exactly what it sounds like. Just
it's so idiosyncratic, though. I guess that's why I get stuck on it. It means so many different things to different people.
That's exactly what it is to each Satanist. It's a completely different thing. So if that means, getting into a certain profession and being the top of your field, that's what you should do as a Satanist. If it's having your day job while you pursue some artistic fulfillment, that's another thing that many of us do. We have our day job, and then we go off and enjoy creating works of art, music, writing, and really, it's meritocracy is at the heart of it, where we seek to be the best we can be at whatever talents we have. And it's such a diverse thing. It would be, it really does mean the many things that you would expect.
So there are certain degrees of enlightenment that one needs to achieve to reach nirvana, as there might be in one religion, or good works and deeds performed out in the world that another religion might need. It's much more idiosyncratic and personal, I take it.
We don't see it as something that's this step and that step and achieve enlightenment. It's that hopefully you are enlightened, just and then keep evolving as an individual as far as you can while enjoying your life fully, eating your favorite foods and enjoying your favorite drinks and overall being a responsible member of society while making sure that you feel personally fulfilled.
I see. Well, thank you. Well, then, do you personally believe in magic in the sense that we see it on film and magazine, or of the supernatural of that sort?
That's supernatural. The term that we like to use is supernormal. So what's beyond the normal is what we're interested in. Not all Satanists are really that invested in anything that would be called magic in the general sense of the word, but as far as greater magic, as I mentioned before, ceremony and everything, but it's because we don't hold faith as a value. If it's not, if you haven't found that, say placing a curse on someone, something that Satanists will do as first of all a catharsis, and if it happens to, you know, seem to affect our chosen enemy in a certain way, well, that's, you know, that's just fine with us. I'm trying to make it clear that it's not that we as Satan does not require one to have faith, say placing what one might call a spell on someone and expecting it to work. That's not required by the Church of Satan, but many members do conduct rituals that and expect outside world results, and that's something I've experimented with mixed results. But the primary thing with magic is, again, evocation, achieving full emotional response to in an environmental sense, an aesthetic sense, and using that as a way of enhancing one's focus, kind of a refreshing. It's psychological calisthenics can keep you in shape in a way.
I see. Well, and in the Satanic Bible, the section at the book of Belial, what's the correct way for me to pronounce that name, please?
Belial is the generally accepted.
Okay, thank you. In the Mastery of the Earth, there's an extensive portion of the Satanic Bible devoted to ingredients used in the performance of satanic magic and ritual and so on. What, not being a theistic faith in that sense, and not believing in a literal Satan, what is the agency that might affect the results of one's magic then? What's the force behind it that might give it success or failure?
Right. Well, we see that as just science that hasn't been explained yet. There are studies and anecdotal accounts that seem to support that there may be certain connections that are not easily explained between people. You know, maybe even the sense that someone's looking at you that you can't see, and then you have to meet eye for that person, and you realize, yes, you sensed that they were looking at you. That's an example. And there are energies that are generated when we think and we feel, and what we try to do if we were trying to send that energy out is to maximize our emotions to the point where we could attempt to send that out and have whatever effect we desire. And I feel I don't want to skip over some of what you mentioned before, which was some of the trappings of ritual, such as say a nude altar, a nude woman as an altar. That is one of the traditional accoutrement of satanic ritual, and that is to represent the carnal, to represent in a sense the earth mother. You know, it's a pagan element in a sense, and it's stimulating. It's that would certainly get anyone who's interested in a woman a bit more excited, get the energies going. And again, it's all about energy and getting that energy up as high as possible. And I would say we don't drink blood in rituals. We'll maybe drink wine or maybe bourbon, depending on whatever the Satanist prefers. Certainly nothing so gruesome. And all of these elements are designed to, again, supercharge the emotions and free the intellect. We call the ritual chamber the intellectual decompression chamber, because the whole point is to not think, but just to feel and to expand the emotions and the will.
And in the spirit of fairness, does the altar have to be a woman?
No, it's strongly suggested, especially in group rituals. But I've only been in one group ritual myself, and the altar was not a nude woman; it was a stone altar, and there's, as I mentioned before, there are so many different ways to achieve this kind of stimulation and fulfillment that would be done in ritual, but without the traditional trappings. And that is, I'd say, once you get beyond that, and I think that often a Satanist will start with these more traditional ways and then evolve their own personal system of sorcery that does not include as much of that, or any of it in some cases.
Okay, so there's no prescribed orthodoxy when it comes to doing it one way or the other, or that one even need do it at all to practice magic in that aspect of the ceremony.
Right, it's something that you adapt to your individualistic needs.
You know, when we talk about it now, you know, it seems obvious, I imagine to both of us, that that symbolism, you know, and drinking wine as opposed to blood and that kind of imagery is not uncommon in many different religions. It's a common theme. We just maybe don't analyze it as closely because we just become accustomed to it.
Yes, well, it's all very useful. It serves its purpose, and humans have had religions for a reason, and we feel that we're getting everything out of it that's healthy, and disposing of some of the more we're not believing in the fantasy, we're using the fantasy.
I think we've covered this, you know, in indirectly. But my next question then is, for the listener, what's the difference between a Satanist and a devil worshipper?
Well, we see devil worshippers as Christian heretics, essentially. So while we use the symbolism of Satan, we don't believe in him literally. While someone who believes in Christian mythology, and it's not often acknowledged as a mythology, it would be just a Christian on the other end of the of that epic battle that they say they're fighting.
Mm-hmm. The Church of Satan, it has a headquarters. Is that correct?
In a sense, there's the administrative offices, which are private, and we have a P.O. box in Poughkeepsie, but there's no building that one goes to discuss Satanism or to have ceremonies, etc. It's really the whole point is that we are a loosely knit cabal that. And each of us creates our own headquarters, in a sense, our own spaces that we consider sacred and not in a supernatural sense. It's all in keeping with the individualistic nature of the religion.
Then, who is the? It was founded by Anton LaVey back in 1966. Who is the head of the Church of Satan today? How is that organized?
Yes, well, Peter H. Gilmore, Magus Peter H. Gilmore, is the high priest and magistrate Egimadramia is the high priestess, and they are the head administrators. They oversee the church and just keep it running. They help to organize people, to keep people in touch, to make sure that Satanism is not being represented, and so forth. They're the head of the church right now.
Oh, okay, thank you. And they're a husband and wife, aren't they?
Yes, they are married. They've had a very wonderfully long marriage. I believe they've been together for at least. They've been together for decades. I don't want to specify, but yes, they are married.
Okay, but they've been married a long time. Oh, well, that's good. In today's day and age, marriages don't often last long, so I'm happy to hear that.
They're an exemplary couple. They really are.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. I'm glad to hear that. Well, how did you join then? When you first discovered the book, the Satanic Bible at the age of 13, and then grew more familiar with it, what was that initial act that you performed to join? Did you reach out or email or phone somebody as an individual who wanted to participate and be part of it? What do you do?
I was very young, and I didn't join until I was around 18. But and of course that's also when I had enough money to join. But
To join?
Yes. The fee is something you can find on churchofsatan.com. The amount, but it's a lifetime membership. It's just a one-time fee, and of course that goes toward supporting the church. It's not we don't proselytize, so it's something people do of their own accord. They decide that they love what the church is doing and want to help keep it going, so they reach into their wallets and support what they support.
Yeah, no, that's a good way, and so do we all. So then are there activities that occur? I mean, you mentioned well Purgisnacht, and one's birthday isn't the most important holiday, and Halloween. Are there events throughout the year where one gets together with other like-minded members?
There can be, depending on who you know. If someone is throwing a shindig on around a holiday, you know, I've been to a birthday party. I've been to a number of Walpurgisnacht and Halloween parties, and it depends on, you know, who you're friends with, and that's pretty much it.
Well, the reason I ask is on the West Coast. Carla LeVay, I understand, has a Black Xmas party once a year, which is a big deal. I think it's in the San Francisco area. Are there similar events on the East Coast or organized events to get out and attract adherents?
No, it's, and we don't proselytize. It's a very personal religion, and it's not something that we do. We don't operate in a way that encourages huddling. We want everyone to be independent and explore and practice Satanism individually, and then connect with the right people at the right times, just organically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hence the cabal structure.
Yes. Okay, I see. Do you share with other people in your day-to-day life that you're a Satanist? Does it come up? Religion doesn't come up much in anyone's day-to-day life at work or at school necessarily, but does it come up naturally?
Not often. Sometimes I wonder whether people are thinking that, because I will sometimes I never ever wear anything overtly satanic, at least outside. I might have a Baphomet pendant, you know, the the inverted pentagram with the goat under my clothing. But and sometimes I have a few rings which I really enjoy wearing. That one of them is a few devil heads on it, but it's a playful ring. It's not something that I've shown it to people. People have said, "Hey, that looks really neat. What's that?" And I show them, and they don't really seem to think much of it. It's, you know, the devil imagery is pretty
kind
ubiquitous.
It's ubiquitous, isn't it?
Yes, and often used in very playful ways, and we love that because that's how we often use it, is in a playful sense, not as a, you know, it's not really grim, you know. But as far as, you know, it doesn't come up often. Sometimes I'll be speaking with someone and they'll surprise me by saying, "Oh, that, well," once I was telling a coworker about the types of art that I enjoy creating, and he said, "Well, that sounds very satanic."
Did he mean it pejoratively or just literally?
It was just literally. He wasn't being judgmental or negative in any way, and that was great. You know, there are people out there who do, such as yourself, educate themselves about Satanism and see the positive, creative, and fun aspects of the religion, and while not subscribing to it themselves, they understand it, and that's really great.
Do people sometimes react negatively, or what range of responses do you get when you do share?
Well, when I was, again, around 13, I did sit down with my very Christian father and in a Barnes & Noble bookstore and showed him the Satanic Bible, told him, we were always very close, so I wanted him to know that, whereas I had been exploring paganism for a while as my ideas about religion changed, kind of neo-paganism, and then realizing that it was the symbolism and the aesthetics that I was interested in, and not in worshiping any deities. I came to him with that, and it was more difficult than dealing with the pagan stuff. But he was understanding, because he knows that I'm a responsible individual, and I showed him Satanism advocates responsibility and has nothing to do with the vile activities that come from those sensationalistic stories that have been around for really a long time, but pop up, especially during, say, the Satanic Panic around the 1980s and so forth. So he had some struggles with it, but was accepting. He would joke that I was the most Christian Satanist in the world. And I would joke with him that he was the most satanic Christian.
Well, you know, and I skipped a question here. If we go back, are there commandments? You know, we got 10 commandments. There are 10 commandments in the Christian faith, and all the different religions have various prescriptions. What is there in the Satanic Bible, please, the equivalent of that?
Well, in the Satanic Bible itself, we have the 9 satanic statements, which really summarize what the symbol of Satan represents, and then beyond that we have the 11 satanic rules of the earth, that's the closest you'll find to what you might consider commandments, but they're not commandments as much as just things that we naturally do, and if one were to not comply with those rules, well, they're just terrible consequences. So it's not a commandment, because they already make sense to us. And we also have the nine satanic sins, which are activities that we seek to avoid. And those can all be found on churchofsatan.com if anyone's interested.
Well, could you give us an example of some of the statements and the sins, please, just for comparison's sake?
Okay, yes. Well, the first satanic statement is that Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence, and that's also what LaVey called the simplest encapsulation of Satanism, that we are indulging and not abstaining. We're celebrating life, not seeing it as evil or looking to an afterlife. It's a religion of the here and now. So I don't know how many of them you'd like me to go over. I can certainly...
Well, just to give people, we can put it all online, and they can also, our listeners can go to the Church of Satan site. But you know, when I read them, they all begin, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. That's the first. The second, Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. And they carry on in that vein. You know, I think the average reader, if the word Satan represents were removed and only indulgence instead of abstinence were said, or kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates, if those statements in themselves, I think many people will agree with. With Satan represents in front of them, it casts them in a different light. But if you could tell me what those statements mean to you in terms of how you might live your life, that would be, it would help us understand.
Okay, well, it's all in practice. It's what I do from day to day. Vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. I'm not caught up in a fantasy world or believing literally in any mythologies. I'm looking to live my day-to-day life in a way that will fulfill me very literally, not in an afterlife. It all sounds very, I tend to get pretty abstract sometimes. So, I would just say, you know, I go to work, I work on my own personal projects, and I'm not looking outside of myself for direction in those pursuits.
You're not compelled by an external God and
right.
External God's commandments. You're not drawn
right.
towards an afterlife that you personally don't believe in.
Right,
you're living
which
here
would
and
be
now.
The spiritual pipe, right, that would be the spiritual pipe dream, the mythology. And undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. Self-deceit is also one of the satanic sins, and we just see that as it's being deluded. Not being honest with oneself about anything really from a scientific point of view or from just a personal point of view. You know, if there's a talent lacking in a certain area, we'll try to work on it. But if we're better off focusing on something else, we seek to do that, you know, focus on developing those talents that we thrive within. That would be an example of undefiled wisdom, just being completely honest with oneself. Kindness to those who deserve it would be just not. If we have the term psychic vampire that's used in an entire chapter of the Satanic Bible, and a satanic vampire is a person who drains you, and we won't abide that at all. If we find that someone is just clinging on and sapping our energy and time, a life is precious, and we're going to do everything we can to get rid of that negative presence.
So from for our listeners, what would be common examples of psychic vampire that we might relate to?
Maybe a family member that's always putting you down. Yeah, that's a pretty common thing, I think, constantly making negative comments. Well, what are you doing with your life? You're nothing, this and that. That would be an example of or maybe someone who presents themselves as a friend and maybe will do you a little favor to try to get into your good graces, and then just keeps expecting more and more out of you without reciprocating. That's, I'd say, a prime example of a psychic vampire, and that's almost worse than an ingrate. That's someone who's preying on you.
Well, a psychic vampire would be more of a serial ingrate.
Would be more of a what?
A serial ingrate. It's
oh yes, a serial ingrate. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I'd say even worse, but yes.
Yeah. Well, switching gears a little bit, the Church of Satan's position, yourself as a warlock in Church of Satan, what is Satanism's position on race, gender, sexuality? These are hot-button topics in many people's lives in religion. Are they exclusive in any way? Are they open-minded in terms of sexuality or gender identity? Are there... Just to start with the basics, are there any racial beliefs or prescriptions in Satanism?
No, it's completely open-minded in that regard. In keeping with our individualistic principles, and we accept law-abiding people of all kinds as long as they resonate with Satanism. You know, we don't have any prejudicial policies. We judge everyone on an individual basis, and it might help to mention that I myself am Black.
Okay. So you're...
And I am... I'm sorry?
Well, the reason I ask is very often so many religions do have either outright dogma or just hidden messages that relate to sexuality or race. And again, it might be a stereotype that exists in people's mind that... Satanism might be wrapped up with all these other ills in society, like homophobia or racist ideology. Or what's your position on homosexuality within the Church of Satan, or gender identity?
Yes, well, we see any activity, any sexual activity between two consenting adults as completely valid. As long as it's not hurting anyone, it's completely accepted and celebrated. And I have a good friend in the Church of Satan who is very, very homosexual. He will discuss certain elements of his lifestyle that I've learned a lot from him about what it means to, at least in his life, be homosexual. But there's no, and as far as gender identity, transsexuals are completely accepted as well. It's a very individualistic religion, and to be prejudiced along any of these lines would be committing another satanic sin, herd conformity. You know, we're not banding together as a single mind and trying to impose anything on anyone. Our goal is to facilitate really the free pursuit of one's own personal joys without infringing upon the same for others.
Okay, well, I'm happy to hear that. Thank you. What are the satanic sins? It seems that you've accepted many things that are sometimes anathema to other religions. What is considered sinful within the Church of Satan?
Okay. Well, I would, I think often back to Friedrich Nietzsche, who condemned sinning against the earth. And that's, I think, what the nine satanic sins really embody, and the same principle. And they are stupidity, pretentiousness, solipsism, self-deceit, herd conformity, lack of perspective, forgetfulness of past orthodoxies, counterproductive pride, and lack of aesthetics. I could explain any of those if they didn't make complete sense right away.
The last one with aesthetics, would you say that one again, please?
Yes, lack of aesthetics.
What does that mean? Not,
well, basically that things, everything and everyone is the way that we present things and the way that we create things is essential to our well-being and the way that we interact with the world. It's communication, it's evocation, and it's essential to we believe to being complete as an individual and achieving the maximum amount of mastery over ourselves and the things we can control.
Okay. Well, thank you. What is it that people should know about Satanism, or what would you like people to know about Satanism that they misunderstand?
Well, there's so many misunderstandings out there that I'd say that I can best sum up what I think people should know about Satanism by reminding them that, as LaVey said, Satanism demands study, not worship. So just study. If you're interested in Satanism or anything, really, the best thing to do is to read up on it, explore it through personal projects, and try to apply whatever you learn wherever you can. But there are so many misunderstandings out there that anything that I haven't said already, I mean, there must be countless other questions that are always on people's minds. And I'll tell you, many people, including those who have done some preliminary research, still ask questions that could have been answered by turning to the next page.
What's the most common question you get from people? That do you have people, when they discover you are a Satanist, start to pepper you with questions? And you must have answered the same questions a thousand times. What are the most common ones you get? I am sure it's most of the ones I've asked.
I'd say so, yes. I generally will get questions from people who are outsiders asking, getting in touch, usually through email, to ask about Satanism and joining the Church of Satan and so forth. But a lot of people, and anyone who knows that I'm a Satanist, generally knows me well enough by then to understand that I have nothing to do with, and that Satanism has nothing to do with the sensationalism. So it's not something that I get questioned about too much.
Are there certain questions that you find offensive, or depictions in the media that you're just tired of? What's it like to be a Satanist in day-to-day life?
In day-to-day life, it's very interesting. I mean, it's just I'm always looking to improve my understanding of the human animal and of my own creativity, and always seeking new indulgences. But as far as the media, I would say Well, I'd say it's frustrating right now to have the temple of the Satanic temple right now trying to get that monument up in Oklahoma.
Well, tell me about that, please, because up in Canada, I'm not familiar with that.
Right, this group, they're apparently based in New York, have been trying to get a monument in Oklahoma up that next to the this plaque with the Ten Commandments as a way of either provoking the trying they want to I think they want to ultimately provoke discussion of the whole issue of separation of church and state, but I think that they're undermining that by intruding. You know, they're intruding on or attempting to intrude on a space that, while I don't agree with having the Ten Commandments up, it's you know, we have to also maintain perspective. Lack of perspective is a satanic sin, and I think that they, while some I've seen some comments on the web that may make me feel not that I don't feel better about it, but you know, some people seem to get it a little more than others, but this whole idea of opening up a public space to any religious expression, especially a government space, it's anathema to Satanism, as we advocate separation of church and state, and we advocate secular government, because that way it's rational. It's you're not basing it on your personal beliefs, your personal mythology, or anything like that, but are, you know, that way everyone can pursue their own desires without worrying about someone who believes something else that happens to be in power telling them no, you're wrong, and locking them up for. I mean, during the Satanic Panic, there was legislation being proposed to make Satanism illegal and for all the wrong reasons. And that's an alarming thing that we always have to be on the lookout for. So we advocate separation of church and state, secularism, not trying to clutter public spaces with a bunch of different statues and plaques of different opposing faiths. And of course, Satanism is not a faith, but I don't know enough about this this organization to explain their side of the story.
Okay, so the fact that, you know, they're intruding on another person's faith is offensive to you, even though the underlying premise that there's this religious symbolism in a public space, maybe it shouldn't be there. We should separate church and state. But the fact that they're interfering with it is something that you object to?
No, I think there should be no religious monuments.
Whatever.
Right. In the at least on a government property or in the public spaces that are, you know, a church, whatever. That's, you know, that's one thing. But beyond that, I find that to be problematic. Anything that's not a private space. So it's not. It's not that I'm offended, it's that I find it counterproductive and it's causing trouble where it need not be caused, because it's not, I don't think it's going to help anything.
Mm-hmm, I see. You know, I think many of our listeners are likely impressed or will be impressed by the amount of open-mindedness that is professed in Satanism. I mean, the inclusivity, that no one is excluded within any traditional, you know, groups or demographics in society. And that it's, I think you've really cleared up our minds on a lot of misconceptions that I think many of us labor under. The fact that it's atheistic, that it's not necessarily belief in magic or ceremony, of a spiritual nature of any kind. No, it's been really illuminating to me. It's something that I learned by reading this Satanic Bible, but prior to that, I had no idea of. So I really thank you for taking the time out to clear up my understanding of this topic today.
That's really been a pleasure, and I certainly hope that I have cleared as much as possible up for you and your listeners.
For those listening now who would like to go off and learn more on their own, where would you recommend that they go next? Where should they turn?
ChurchofSatan.com is perfect. There you'll find frequently asked questions, news that will show some of what the membership is up to individually, contact information, affiliation information, anything that really, I'd say that most basic questions can be answered just by perusing the website, and from there reading as much as possible. That's, and a lot of the literature is also available in ebook form, so that helps with people that may not be able to order or purchase the books in person, the physical books. And I myself often read satanic literature on the train, and that it even helps to conceal that I am doing so, because I don't want to deal with a bunch of stupid questions or comments.
No, that's true. Yeah, e-readers have really made it easier in that way. No, that's true. Well, listen, I really appreciate your time, and I thank you very much for your patience in the many questions that I've asked. Many of them are very basic. You know, what do you believe in? How do you do it? Where do you do it? But really, that's the basic information that we didn't know. And so thank you very much for being so open and sharing this with us today.
It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you something, baby, that you can't do. You better take it kind of easy. I've got my eyes on you. And you got to give and count just for me, just for what you do. If you got a good woman and she won't treat you right, and feed her three times a day and whoop a little at night, you got to give and count just what you do. Now, Mr. Depot Agent, don't you make me cry. Did my baby stop him? Did you keep on by? You got to give and count just what you do. Now I want all you people to gather around. My baby done left me, treat me like a hound. You got to give and count just what you do. I told her I'd buy her a Chevrolet, still she wanted a V8 Ford. She said she wanted something, would be easy to hold in the road. She got to give and count just what she do. I waved my hand, she wouldn't pay me no mind. While on my door, she nailed up the sign. But you got to give and count just what you do.